Blog Talk Radio.
Celebration today, because that song Yahweh Nisi or Jehovah Nisi represented a battle that the Israelites had with the Amalekites, and they had victory. We're going to read that story from the book of Exodus. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you too could have the victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. And every lying tongue you should put to shame, because you're a child of righteousness. Hallelujah. That's in Isaiah. Glory be to the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Yes, we're in celebration for the victory. We have a victory today in Christ Jesus. He overcame death. He overcame sin. He overcame the grave, and he resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're in celebration, and I want you to be in celebration. There's nothing wrong with celebrating, brothers and sisters. It's not being arrogant. It's not being proudful. It's recognizing that in Jesus Christ, we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because we depend on him. It's nothing that we have done. It's what he has done. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, today we spoke a little bit about Abraham and Isaac, and they was going to sacrifice him, and but there was a ram caught in the bush, and we was discussing as to why did God stop Abraham from sacrificing his son. And we spoke a little bit that everybody was saying different things. When it came to my turn, what I tried to share with everyone is, just like the animal, the blood of Isaac would not be a perfect blood. It would not. It would only cover the sins for the year. They would have to redo it every year. But the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, which is eternal, not only covers up our sinful nature, but God forgives us of our nature, sinful nature. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. In the old times, the atonement, they sacrificed an animal. Glory be to the Lord. And that animal, there's a sacrifice got to be done every year, because that blood would only last for a year. Then came the next atonement day, and they would have to do it all over again. So we discussed that a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today we, you know, every Sunday, I'll give you a little itinerary. Every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible mystery. And we deviated a little bit from the mysteries to cover the names or titles of God. Today we're going over Jehovah Nissi. Today we're going over Jehovah Nissi. And you only have to answer the first question out of the three. But if you go answer all three, that's even better. But question number one is, what does it mean, Jehovah Nissi? What does it mean? Question number two, where in the Bible do we find it? Glory be to the Lord. And question number three, why was God called Jehovah Nissi? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's the first question, is what does it mean? If you call in at 516-418-5944, and we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here, and press number one to be connected with the studio, I'll see a little icon of your hand raised, and I would click you on, and we'll discuss the question with the answer. If you get it right, the church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful pamphlet, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, talks about the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. And I would recommend that you put it in your Bible. If you have an appointment or something like that, you want to be called, you could take it out and study it and learn it about the tabernacle. Now, that tabernacle was also called the Tabernacle of the Congregation. It also was called the Tent of Meetings. It was a temporary tabernacle, meaning that it was taken down at times and put up on other times. When the cloud by day moved, take on the tabernacle, they would take it down, and they would follow the cloud by day. When the cloud stopped, then they rebuild the tabernacle, and they'll continue the services. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We know that later on, Solomon built the temple, and that was a stationary tent. Glory be to the Lord. And that was in Jerusalem, in the city of David, where God said he would put his name into Jerusalem. Glory be to the Lord. If you look at the three patterns that it's associated there with Jerusalem, you will see the letters Sheen. It looks like a W, and it means Hashem. Hashem. So God has put his name in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is his city. Glory be. And Israel is the apple of God's eye. Glory be to the Lord. On Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, we have intercessory prayer, where we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as Psalms 122 says, verse 6. And we have other subtopics like family, husband and wife, children, the church, the government, you know, different things like that. And if you call, you'll be assigned several of those subtopics, and we'll pray for them. We have intercessory prayer. On Thursday, we have Bible study. And the main subject that we're looking at, what's next? What's next in the calendar of God? Well, we believe, born-again Christians, and studying the Bible, we believe that the rapture is the next event to take place. Rapture is the gathering together of the saints, being caught up to the clouds to meet the Lord, for Christ in the air, and forever to be with the Lord. He's going to take us to his Father's house. A beautiful illustration of the rapture is a movie called The Day Before the Wrath. I would recommend that you look at it, because I used to read the Bible, and, you know, Jesus was Jewish. But he was Jewish, but he was a Galilean. And the illustration of the Galilean wedding, like the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turned the water into wine, illustrates the rapture significantly. Very good. You would understand it better. It's a mystery of the wedding, the husband and the wife. Glory be to the Lord. So we are discussing the rapture and the return of Christ. We're talking about the rapture first, and it has six elements that we're looking at it, you know, for the things of the Lord. And this Thursday, let me just bring it to you, what's going to be spoken of, and that is going to be through the rapture period. Jesus is coming to resurrect the righteous dead, from 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 14 and 16. That's the topic that we're going to be talking about this Thursday. Jesus is coming to resurrect the righteous dead. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, in the return, we're going to study the return afterwards. You have to understand one thing. In the rapture, you might not, some people don't believe it because they don't find the word rapture in the Bible, but it's there. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, we being caught up, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up. That word caught up in the Greek is harpazo, and when translated to the Latin, it's rapido, rapture. And that's where we get the rapture from. And some people say, oh, it didn't start until the 1800s. No, our forefathers spoke about it. Matter of fact, God gave some examples in the Bible in the Old Testament. If you remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the commandments, God descended down to give him to glory. So that's a type of the rapture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When Lot was taken by the hand by the angels and taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's a type of the rapture. And that's what's going to happen, my brothers and sisters. The dead in Christ will rise first. We that remain shall be caught up. Rapazo. Rapture. And we're going to meet the Lord where? In the air, the clouds. Where his return, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the return. And you have to understand, the second coming of Jesus Christ is in two phases. The first phase is the rapture. The second phase is the return. On the return, he puts his feet on Mount Olivet. And you can read that in the prophet Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. You're going to understand the last days. In that day, glory be. So we're talking about, you know, what's next in Bible study. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we'd encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. If they have the computer or laptop, they could go to the chat room and put the answer to the questions there or the comments or testimonies there. And when I get the notice that somebody's there, I will look into it and see what's going on. Glory be to the Lord. If you want to speak to the pastor directly after the program is over at 8 o'clock, you could call 772-626-3178. If you want to write your comment, questions, or testimony to the church, you could send them via the email at WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. And you will receive an answer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's look at this mystery name or title of God, Jehovah Nissi. What does it mean? Where in the Bible do we find it? Why was God called Jehovah Nissi? Well, let's read the incident that occurred, and through the reading we could come up with the answers. So let us go to Exodus chapter 17, and we're going to begin at verse number 8. Glory be to the Lord. And the Bible says, then came Amalekite and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalekite. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now the rod of God, the rod represents the Holy Spirit. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalekite. You understand, Amalekite is one of the leaders, and the people that are with him are called the Amalekites. But here it says Amalekite, singular. So we hear a distinction of the person who's leading, Amalekite. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. When he let his hands down, Amalekite prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. So they held their hands up, glory be to the Lord, because that's where Israel prevailed in the war. And Joshua discomfited Amalekite, people with the edge of the sword. In other words, Joshua and his army destroyed the Amalekites. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ear of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalekite from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalekite from generation to generation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see that in the second question, where do we find it in the Bible? Exodus 17 and 15. It says that Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. This is, if you notice the Old Testament fathers, when they had a situation where God intervened, they always built an altar and named it for that occasion. Here is Jehovah Nissi. Why was God called Jehovah Nissi, and what does Jehovah Nissi mean? Well, the third question, why was God called Jehovah Nissi, is there, is found in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. And here's the answer. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalekite from under heaven. So God is going to defeat them. He's going to intervene, you know. And the same thing today, my brothers and sisters. You might be going through a situation or circumstances where the enemy is tempting you, where the enemy is suggesting to you, where the enemy is trying to get you to forsake your faith in the Lord. The enemy's after you. He's warring against you. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, we don't fight flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me read that for you so you could understand. We see it in the Old Testament where Moses and Joshua and the army, they fought against the Amalekites. In the New Testament, you know, we still have the same battles. But this time we have battles where the enemy is spiritual. Here in verse chapter 6 of Ephesians. Beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. And that's why we have this armor on, because we fight against. Now, the Lord has blessed different people with the ministry of deliverance, and we applaud God because God chose these vessels to go and do face-to-face warfare. It does not mean that we as born-again Christians don't have the same strength. We, in the name of Jesus, could command the enemy to depart. And they have to depart. They have to be obedient to the name of Jesus Christ. The difference between us and the ministers of deliverance is that that's their main gift that the Lord has given unto them. Mine could be evangelism. Yours could be teaching. Another could be a pastor. There's many different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So, you know, in everything in life, we always seek the profession. Professional. You know, we want the best doctors. We want the best dentists. So when we're dealing with the soul, the best people to deal with the enemy spirit is the deliverance ministers, you know, because they are given the gift, the anointing in that area to deal with those spirits. But Jesus had all anointing. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. We have part of the Holy Spirit. Our mortal bodies cannot sustain the whole utterance and issuance of the Holy Spirit. No way. The Bible tells us that we don't have the whole anointing, the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we won't be able to stand it. Our bodies won't be able to stand it. But the Lord has given gifts to different people. And it behooves for us to all seek God and find out what's the gift that he has given unto us. And we learn and study about the gift, and we operate in it. So we want to thank the Lord for that. And so here we have in the Old Testament, the Amalekites were coming against Israel. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the mountain. They went to the top of the mountain. They went way up there. The enemy has a problem with following them to the top of the mountain because, you know, God resides in the mountain of heaven. And people don't, and the enemy don't want to deal with that. So Moses, when he raised his hands, the battle was being prevailed by the Israelites. But at times, because the arms were heavy, they would drop down, and then the Amalekites would prevail. So God gave wisdom to Aaron and to Hur. And what they did, they put a rock down, and they sat Moses down. And they, each one on each side, took his hands up and held it up. And Joshua went with his army, and he discomfited the Amalekites. He tore them to pieces. And Israel had the victory in that day. Glory be to the Lord. So what does Jehovah Nisi mean? What does Jehovah Nisi mean? We found out that when we read Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15, we see that Moses called the altar in that place Jehovah Nisi. Why? We see how God was called Jehovah Nisi. Why? Because he tore up, he used everything to destroy the remembrance of the Amalekites. Because if you remember, the Amalekites were the ones who came against Israel even when they came out of Egypt. The Egyptians coming on the land, the Amalekites was in the mountain, and Israel was facing the waters. What to do next? So they depended on the Lord. And God told Moses, stretch forth your hand over the waters. And the waters parted. And Israel walked on dry land across the river, the Red Sea. And they was on the other side, and they began to celebrate. And when the Egyptians tried to follow them, the waters came back, and they were killed. They were destroyed. They were drowned. Even unto this day, when you see Discovery Channel, they found some of the Roman chariot wheels there in the bottom of the Red Sea. So we know that the event was real, the crossing of the Red Sea by the Israelites. We know. But what does Jehovah Nisi mean? You know? You should have an idea, my brothers and sisters. When I was in the Boy Scouts, I was in the front of the line, and I was holding a pole, and there was a flag on it, and the flag had a number on it, and it represented our troop. Sometimes we see different teams and professions that they have flags also for their team. They have icons. They have different names, different numbers. But what is that call? What does Jehovah Nisi mean? I'm not going to give you the answer. I want you to figure it out for yourself. As a matter of fact, if you listen to the song played in the beginning, it told you what Jehovah Nisi meant. If you pay close attention to what was sang or sung, you will have an idea what Jehovah Nisi stands for. Hallelujah. And, you know, one of the main reasons why we here on the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, we look at the names and titles of God, it's because we want you to have a personal relationship with him. I want you to be personal with him and know him, who he is. This, we, you know, in the list that I have, doesn't even have not one of the names that he is called by in Isaiah, where it says a child is born and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, Father. I don't have none of those names here. I have other names here that's found in the Bible. But that's because I want you to study, and I want you, my desire is for you to study. The Bible says, Paul spoke to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, study yourself, approve unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you go to church and the speaker, the pastor or the evangelist or whoever is bringing forth the word of God, and they mention a name or a title of God, well, you should know what that means. And by it, you have an idea what the person is going to be talking about. Because I'm not going to call the name of Jehovah Nissi and talk about something strange that doesn't apply to the name. You know, when you rightly divide the word of God, when you keep everything in context, then you're going to be able to teach the children correctly. But if you take it out of context, just to show your educational background, it's not going to help anyone but yourself. You're looking for the credit for yourself. But all credit and all honor belongs to him, to our God. Because without him, it's impossible to do anything. With him, all things are possible. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We got about 27 minutes to go. I want you to think about, what does Jehovah Nissi stand for? You should understand it, because there's a couple of verses in the book of Psalms that we sing in a song. And that will give you an answer, that song that we sing from the Psalms. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want to give you the answer, because if I give you the answer, then you're not going to learn anything. But if you learn how to study the word, how to search it out, how to look it up, how to pray and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give you the Rhema word, a word of revelation. We have the Logos word, the written word, but we need the Rhema word. We need this spiritual part of the word so we could understand it better. So that's why, you know, I don't give you the answers to the questions. The first question, that is. The other questions, yeah, we deal with them because they're right there, the scriptures. Everything is right there in the scriptures. And everything was there in the song. So if you listen to the song, if you read the scriptures correctly, you're going to get the answer right away. The answer is right there. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. In verse 15, it says that Moses, this is where we find the word Jehovah Nissi. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. What does Jehovah Nissi mean? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you a little something for next week. Next Sunday, we're going to be looking at Jehovah Raha, R-A-A-H, Jehovah Raha. So you have the opportunity to look it up, study it, And same questions are going to be there. What does Jehovah Raha means? Where in the Bible do we find it? Why was God called Jehovah Raha? Very easy. Every week is the same thing. We're halfway through the names and titles of God. We have 10 more names and titles of God that we're going to be looking at. So we're going to be dealing with this subject for 10 more weeks, you know. And I want you to learn the name of God, the title of God, so you have an idea what the Lord has for you. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this is the first time that you call in and you get the answer correctly, you get that beautiful, colorful, accordion style pamphlet of the tabernacle. This is your ongoing second, third. You're going to get a beautiful breakdown of the Lord's Prayer. 12 rooms in your personal house of prayer. 12 rooms. So we took the Our Father prayer and broke it down to 12 rooms. And it's color-coded according to the colors of the Messiah. It has scriptures in it, and you can look it up, and that will help you. You know, my desire is that you pray like Nahum, that you obey like Daniel, that you lead like Moses, that you serve like Martha, that you believe like Mary, that you fight like David, that you educate like Paul, that you build like Noah, that you love like Jesus. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, we glorify you, and we give you all the honor due unto your name. So let me just recap the story that we had. That we had read. And it talks about the Amalekites coming to fight against Israel. Moses told Joshua to go pick out men and to fight the Amalekite. And that's what Joshua went to do. In the meantime, Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the mountain. When Moses kept his hands up, Israel would prevail in the fight. But his hands became heavy and they dropped some, and the Amalekite prevailed. So Aaron and Hur had an idea, and it's a revelation from God. What they did, they put a rock down and had Moses sit down. However, they, each of them, on each side of Moses, lifted up his arms and kept them up. And Israel defeated the Amalekites with the sword. As the Bible says, Joshua discomfited it with the sword. Now, that's a beautiful, easy, nice word. In other words, Joshua killed them. And people don't remember the Amalekites right now. If you try to search history, what happened to Amalekites, well, this story of Joshua battling with the Amalekites should be the only and last story that you find the Amalekites mentioned. Afterwards, you don't see at all the Amalekites mentioned. You don't see in the New Testament the Amalekites mentioned. If you remember, Esther had an arch enemy, Haman, and Haman was from the Amalekites. And what happened was that the prophet Eli went to the king, Saul, and told him that he was supposed to kill everybody. But King Saul left the woman, his wife, the Amalekite wife, queen, alive, maybe not realizing that she was pregnant. He killed the king and everybody else. but he left her alive, and she was pregnant with child. And after giving birth and weaning the child grew, and the child brought forth discomfort to Israel and Babylon. And Esther had to step in and plead with the king one night, and she was able to succeed because God gave her grace upon grace. And the king hung Haman and his brothers, his family, on the gallows that he built for the Israelites. And at that time, they celebrated. And even until now, during the time of March, January, February, or March, they celebrate Purim. Hallelujah. 2 days they celebrate Purim because the enemy Hamas, Haman, wanted to destroy Israel. But because of Queen Esther, the Amalekites, Haman, was destroyed. And they celebrate their freedom. And Mordecai, who was a cousin, became one of the leaders in Babylon because they was obedient to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And there was a reason and a purpose why Esther became queen. This was the reason to deliver Israel out of the hands of Haman, because he wanted to utterly destroy them. Like today we have Hamas. You know, they use the excuse that Israel took over the land of Palestine. But the real reason is they want to destroy Israel from off the face of the earth. Like Hitler tried to destroy them from off the face of the earth. But Israel is God's apple of the eye. He said he would never leave her nor forsake her. He has her. He has her in the palms of his hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One day after the rapture, God the Father will turn his attention back to Israel. Right now, the attention is for the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's not that we are building the church. Jesus is building the church. He is, through the Holy Spirit, guiding us and directing us in the way that we should go, and worshiping and praising God in spirit and in truth, and telling the truth to all, that there's coming a day in which God will send forth his wrath. We don't have to be part of that wrath. We don't have to be part of the 7-year tribulation. Glory, glory, glory. Okay, we've got about 1 minute to go, and we're going to be ending the program. I've not received a phone call at all. Haven't received not one person calling or connecting to the studio. So the question is, what does Jehovah Nisi mean? What does it mean? If no one calls in, I will put this in my folder and save it for the next time. I'm not going to give the answer, though, because you would not learn anything. What does Jehovah Nisi mean? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're winding down. We want to thank the Lord for this opportunity that we had. And we ask God that he would touch the hearts of the people, and that the people will be able to survive and listen and do the right thing. Until the next time, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.